Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Father Mark Montminy, I started talking about him yesterday on the program, but didn't get a chance to dig in very deeply. Today, you're going to learn a tremendous amount about leadership, specifically things that I learned from Father Mark, or while I was at St. Marie's, under his leadership. He, again, was an incredible model, and you'll hear me mention that, but he also had tremendous insight as well regarding how a leader leads effectively and fruitfully. So we're going to dive into that and much else today on the program. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and I thank you and praise you for the gift of life, the gift of our faith, for the gift of your blessed mother, and that you entrusted her to us and us to her, that she would be our mother. And so, Mother Mary, we welcome your beautiful, sweet, powerful intercession in our lives, and I ask that you would truly wrap your arms around those who are experiencing trouble right now, difficulty, time of trial, and especially those, Lord, who are facing a sense of separation from their families. I pray that Mother Mary, you would be a beautiful, sweet, powerful intercessor for those who are powerless and who are at risk of being torn apart rather than kept together as families. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so in these last programs, I've been talking quite a bit about spiritual mentors and how in our tradition, they are a crucial way for us to grow and advance in our faith. So if you and I are going to advance in our faith, then we ought to pray for and seek out, and if you will, sit at the feet of leaders, spiritual leaders who have a maturity, who have a holiness, who can pour into our lives to help us see the world in a certain way, help us approach things, and to help us to live our lives. And as I've been reflecting on that theme entering into 2025 of being a steward, I began to think about, with great gratitude to the Lord, for these spiritual fathers, these holy men, three of them priests, whom the Lord gave to me in my life and gave me the opportunity to be under their leadership. And as a recipient of so much from them, I want to hand it on to you. And one of the things that will become apparent, I think it did when I was sharing about Father Mark Noonan, was that a number of the themes, the key ideas that I talk about regularly on the program, and I have done so for the last 20 years, these are things that I've gained from them. And so I'm handing on to you, and you can see what has marked my sense of mission very deeply is what I've received from others. And so for me, in some small way, this program for the last 20 years has been my attempt to witness with a degree of transparency my own journey of faith, but also as a conduit, as a means of pouring into your lives, if you're open to receive it, if God would have you do that, insights that would be a blessing to you that I myself have received from others. And just hold on to that beautiful idea that the things that God has given to you, he gives to you out of love. He gives to you as a blessing. But there are many blessings he gives to you that are not only for you. Did you hear that? The blessings he gives to you are not only for you. I've been talking about these relationships with these mentors, but that goes further than that. It goes all the way to Like when you think of traditional concepts of stewardship, it's what? Time, treasure, and talent. So the treasure that you've received, you might think, oh, I got this because of my hard work, or I got this because of my parents' hard work and I inherited it. Ah, there it is. However it is, you have the treasure that is yours. Yes, it's the Lord. It all goes back ultimately to the Lord who's blessed you with even the capacity and the willingness to work hard and to have opportunities and open doors to be able to do things that will in fact make you money or bring you the wealth that is yours. It's for you. Yes, it's a blessing that's given to you for you, but it's not only for you, it's for others. And so hold that concept of stewardship with a sense of, let's call it reverence, with fear and trepidation, that I want to honor the Lord with the blessings that he has given to me. So it's the treasure or it's the talents. How often are we using the gifts and talents that the Lord has given to us for our own benefit? Shouldn't we be doing that? Yeah, absolutely. Should we also be thinking about ways in which we can put those gifts at the service of others? Those who maybe don't have the same opportunity that we have, don't have the same giftings that we have. So that might be in the form of counsel, like coaching. I'll often coach folks. I'll do that often in my service as a real estate agent, or just in the course of sitting on the bleachers, watching a basketball game. I'll just start coaching somebody. Or, hey, let's get together for coffee. And I'll just say, hey, if it's okay with you, I'll just start coaching somebody. So that idea of using your gifts as a steward, of them, not only for your own benefit, very important. It's a very important way that we are called upon to live our lives. Same, you could say the same with time. Some of you have the capacity to be home, and maybe you're home now and you have a lot more discretionary time. That's a stage of life you're in. Yeah, that's for you, but it's not only for you. Okay, you get the concept. It's the concept of stewardship. And I want to live a stewardship that is going to bring a return on the Lord's investment. The gold coin that God has given to us, Lord, I want a tenfold return. Give me the grace to know what it takes to give you a tenfold return on the life that you've given to me. That's what I'm committed to in 2025. Okay, so Father Mark Montminy, again, a priest of the Diocese of Manchester, New Hampshire, he's still active in ministry. He's probably in his last assignment. He's in, I would say, his late 60s, but probably getting close to 70. And again, a very zealous, holy priest of Jesus Christ, and someone who would talk about Jesus with a familiarity, with a sense of intimacy, with a degree of confidence that was hard to find a parallel to. He loved Jesus. It was obvious by how he preached, what he emphasized, how he talked. You could tell. It couldn't be hidden, right? It was, you can't, that kind of light couldn't be kept under a bushel basket. And one of the things that he ended up fostering in me was this zeal to proclaim the gospel, this willingness to seek opportunities to share Jesus Christ with others. I can remember when he hired me to be director of evangelization, one of the things that he was open to was, let's put on a conference to bring people together. And I got to tell you, this was a parish, not the diocese. This was a parish putting on conferences on evangelization. And the speakers that we had at our conferences, Scott Hahn, Peter Kreeft, Dr. Thomas Howard, Kimberly Hahn, Father John Bertolucci, Father Benedict Rochelle, Charlie Osborne, Ralph Martin, all of the biggies at the time. All of the biggest speakers at that time in the history of the church, in the history of the church in America, so the late 80s, early 90s, we put on these conferences and would get somewhere between 800 and 1,200 people show up at these conferences, and they were amazing. So at the first one, Father Mark was speaking, and one of the things that came out of his mouth was that we shouldn't be afraid of proclaiming Jesus just because the world says that we are offensive to them. You know, oh, it's you're offending me if you proclaim Jesus to me. And what he said back with just this clarity and simplicity and conviction was, the world offends me. He says, you think you're being held back from preaching Jesus because you offend the world? Well, guess what? The world offends me. And do not be stopped from presenting Jesus. And I the impact that had, I still have that image of him standing there at the microphone, speaking that truth, and the crowd erupted. Well, he impacted me even to yesterday. Okay, so yesterday I went to the doctor's. I had a doctor's appointment. I had a physical. Again, full disclosure, I haven't had a physical for about 8 years. I think it was the last one on my chart. And so it was time. It's time to get a physical and get level set. And so, boy, it takes a long time to get a doctor's appointment. I had my pre-doctor's appointment back in December, and this was the first next appointment 2.5 months later to get in to see the doctor. And thanks be to God, all my blood work came back fine. All the different levels of all the different tests they took all came back normal and in range and all of that. And I bring this up because of the encounters I had. The first was with the doctor, and there was a physician assistant there who was trailing around with her. And she was looking at the computer, and she noticed something that, oh, I see here this indication that there are three appointments after me that just got canceled. She's like, I have no idea why that happened. And so I wanted to be a little bit lighthearted about it. I said, oh, they saw that I was coming in to see you, and they just said, that's it, we're done. And she laughed, and she was clever and quick and responded back. And I said, I just can't believe that. And I said, well, what's the best thing happening in your day-to-day? She just looked at me. And she said, why'd you say that? I said, well, it's just want to know what was the best thing that happened for you today? And she said, you know what? And she was saying, there was a staff member who was out, delivered a baby. The baby was sick and had some health problems, and now the baby's better. And so she was bringing the baby in to show us now that the baby was strong and healthy. And she said, that was a really a great highlight of my day. She said, thank you for doing that. That was a good reframing for me. I really appreciate that. And then she said to me, well, what's the highlight of your day? And I said, being with you. And she thought I was joking. She thought, I was like, no, I said, you're a doctor. You're here. I'm coming in. I've waited a long time to come and meet with you in order to kind of disclose and discover what's going on with my health and being able to get insight into that. It's just, I really appreciate that. And I said, not only that, but there's only one of you in all of human history. And it's a gift just to be in your presence. You're a gift to this world. She just looked at me. It's like, wow, thank you. And what was I doing there? I was evangelizing, meaning I was bringing her the truth of the gospel, which is that she is this gift simply because she's a person. And I was letting her realize that she is this gift in this world, and the work she's doing is doing a lot of good. And I let her know, yeah, I do church work. Well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I do church work, help people come to faith. And I do real estate. And she said, wow, okay. And then we just continued on. Okay. I needed some blood work. I had to go wait in the waiting room, call me into do the blood work. And I said to the woman who was taking my blood, I said, how's your day? She says, well, it's getting better because it's almost done. And I said, what kind of attitude is that? I said, what is your name? She said, well, my name is Felicia. I said, Felicia? Felicia means happy. You should be happy. And she said, yeah, I know, Felicia. Yeah, it comes from a like Spanish word that means happy. And I said, yeah, you should be a happy person. You should be showing happiness. And then she said to me, you know, like, what do you do for a living? I don't know why this always comes up. And I said to her, I said, well, I'm on the radio. She said, well, what kind of program is it? Like music? Are you a DJ? I said, no, I talk about Jesus. And she said, "Oh, I love Jesus." And I said, "Oh, that's so beautiful." I said, "When did you tell me about that? When did you come to love Jesus?" And here we are in the middle of this little clinic where all these different people are having their blood taken, and we're talking about Jesus. And she said, "Oh," and mentioned, 9 years ago, I came here from Yakima. I ended up going to this church, and I just came to know that Jesus loved me in a personal way. And that just changed everything. I said, "That's so beautiful." I said, "What do you need right now?" She said, "Finances." I said, "Let's pray." So you know how when your blood is being drawn, your arm is out, like your sleeve is up, right? And they've got that like rubber band around your arms. My hand is out. I said, "Okay, hey, take my hand." Because she had her hand with her, like getting the blood. And I prayed for her right there out loud. "Lord Jesus, just bless Felicia. Just let her just know your happiness and just bless her with, shock her with your generosity." And finally, I prayed with her right there, right in the clinic. Boom. Why did I do that? I did that because I felt like it was the right thing to do, but I was open to doing that. And that was an impact of Father Mark Montmoney. Always be ready to be proclaiming Jesus. The way he would say it is, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to preach Jesus." And I love that lasting impact that he's had on my life. All right, back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and I'm sharing with you some insights and stories about Father Mark Montmoney, the impact that he had on my life, was really in the day-to-day shepherding care that he had for the parish. And I got to be drawn into that because of my role on the parish staff as a director of evangelization. Now, again, in 1989, this was extraordinarily rare for a parish to have so much activity going in the realm of evangelization that they hired someone to do that. And he was capable of doing this. He was capable financially to do this because he trusted in the Lord, and the Lord provided for him the finances to be able to do that. I told that story at the end of yesterday's program. So here I am on his staff, and I got to see and learn so much from how he was pastoring us, the staff, in relationship to the wider work of the parish. Now, one of the things that he taught me was that you can't do every good thing by yourself. You need to draw in others who are capable leaders and raise them up if you want to get a wider scope of work done. And Father Mark was really, in a sense, a real pioneer of this. You know, back in the late 80s, parishes were principally made up of, priests and then some lay staff that were primarily involved in organizational types of activities with, again, maybe a music ministry, liturgical minister was maybe a liturgical ministry person or maybe a director of religious education. Those were starting to come on and becoming more popular. But the idea of lots of lay people on staff, this was a phenomenon that was just emerging in the late 80s. And so Father Mark was very much at the forefront of bringing on lots of staff onto his staff. And I want to focus on two themes that were really important to him as he formed us. The first one had to do with the concept of commitment. And I'm going to talk about commitment in three different levels, that there are different levels of commitment. And it's the fun when we think about, oh, are you committed? And you think about that, we often are thinking about our commitment to specific activities, right? Did you show up at time? Did you make that phone call, you know, to get that report done? Did you show up for that activity? Did you play your part, right? All of those things are commitments to specific activities. And that is, of course, a very important part of being committed is our commitment to specific activities. But Father Mark would identify the fact that that's not the most important level of commitment, that if we're going to bear fruit in ministry, that the first and most important level is not our commitment to commitments to specific activities, that there's something even more fundamental than that. And that is our commitment to each other. And so that would be a higher level of commitment. So when you have the shared life of a community, this commitment that we have to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, having an authentic care for each other, and that can happen in a family, that can happen in a prayer group, that can happen in a ministry, that can happen on a committee, right? As members of the body of Christ, we need to be aware that when we're faithful to our commitments, it impacts our brothers and sisters, and it helps them be able to fulfill their commitments. And so that was something that he would say to me very, you know, he would bring up to us that if we saw brothers and sisters in the community, you know, members of the parish, like falling short or failing, we should first say or judge them based on, well, look at how they're falling short. But instead, they're a mirror for us. They're a mirror to look back and say, have I been supporting that person, encouraging that person, holding that person accountable? Have I been praying for that person? How have I been involved in helping that person be successful, at least in prayer, if not in also in reaching out with other ways that I could be of help to them? And so the faithfulness of other people to their commitments brings out to the surface the commitment that we have to each other. And to say this out loud, this had a very profound effect on how I viewed marriage and parenting, that it is often easy for us as parents or as a husband for my wife, as a father for my kids, to realize that there is a power, there is a source of strength that comes to my kids' lives when I am faithful to my commitments. My fidelity to my most fundamental commitments provides a cover of protection and a strength of provision for my kids to be able to be true to their commitments. Now, that's not something that is immediately like logical or visible, where you can draw a line and say, you know what? I've been faithfully getting up every morning early and taking my prayer time, and therefore my kids are now getting up and being faithful to their prayer time. Or I'm praying my rosary every day, and now that's going to give them, somehow we're going to see a result of them praying their rosary every day. It's not like that. It's rather a spiritual insight and intuition that when you are in a leadership role, your fidelity to your fundamental commitments makes a big difference. It really matters. And it's not just, oh, it matters to God, and so God's going to bless your loved ones because you're being faithful to Him. No, it's something that John Paul II brought up in his document on the Great Jubilee Year 2000. He talks about the spiritual treasury of blessings, this treasury of the church, of the spiritual blessings, where the spiritual good that one member of the body of Christ does sends an impulse of strength, of blessing into the body of Christ. And if that's true at that like broadest of levels, that the communion we share in the body of Christ is such that your fidelity impacts my life and my fidelity impacts yours, then as the density of connection, as the closeness of connection and relationship increases, that impact increases. And so I want you to hear that out loud, that what I witnessed from Father Mark and what I learned from him was, don't focus first and last on the detail of, did this person keep this commitment? When we do that, we might be losing the forest for the trees. But instead, elevate back up to a higher level and realize that I'm called to walk with this brother or sister in Christ. And especially if you're married or you're a parent and a grandparent, just know that your fidelity has a powerful impact of providing and protecting the faith life of those that are under your care and most closely related to you. All right, but that's not even the deepest level of commitment. The deepest level of commitment is not my commitment to the commitments. It's not my getting up in the morning. I'm committed to getting up in the morning and praying quietly and doing my different prayer routine. That's important, but that's not the deepest level. It's not even the level of I'm committed to doing that because I'm committed to fulfilling my role as a husband and father to carry in my kids. Yeah, that's a higher level, but there's something even deeper at work. And what's deeper than my commitment to my wife and my kids, and what's even, you know, deeper than my commitment to the specific commitments I make? Oh, well, you're going to say, well, I know what it is. It's, Tom, it's your commitment to God. And I'll say, yeah, that is deeper, but that's not the deepest commitment. The most fundamental commitment in our lives is not our commitment to God. It's God's commitment to us. You hear that again. The most fundamental commitment at work in your life that gives you the ground to walk on, it's the rock upon which you live your life of faith, is not your commitment to God. It's not your commitment to your spouse or your commitment to your kids or your commitment to do specific things. It's God's commitment to you. He is faithful. And it's only because he has committed himself to us that we can be committed to God, to each other, and to those specific activities. And so our challenge, our call, is to root, to trace back all of those other commitments to his commitment to us. And because of that, We are graced. We have the power we need to be faithful to our most important relationships, to the commitments that are involved in those most important relationships. Because when God commits to us, he's committed to giving us the grace we need, the blessing. He's committed to giving us the provision and the protection and the guidance or leadership we need to be faithful. Thank you, Father Mark Montminy. Thank you for witnessing to this and for helping me to understand this by how he walked with me as a leader, that our first call is to look to God and realize that he's faithful to us. And because he's faithful to us, we can be faithful to him, we can be faithful to each other, and we can be faithful to those things that we're committed to accomplishing. And so there you go. I thought that that would be a blessing for you to hear a bit about that important theme of commitment. And so there's so much more I could say about this. I will just mention a couple of quick details that I also learned through the life that I was able to live there, things that would help foster greater commitment. Like how do you help foster greater commitment? You're a leader, you want to draw people forward. How do you help them to grow in their own commitment to the Lord and to each other and to the commitments that are going to help them grow in their faith? The first is give them responsibility. Invite a person to increased responsibility in the group. that will help people often make a decision to move more fully into the group. And so if you hear priests from the altar or the pulpit, the ambo, say, "Hey, I'm looking for folks to step forward who are gifted in this area, who have a background in this, or who's good at doing this." It's that he's drawing you into, again, a sense of stewardship, but in a way that says, "I want to help ask you to be responsible. See if you're capable of responding here to this call, that you're going to put this gift at the service of the community." So very beautiful. Another one is accountability. Hold people accountable. And that would be a matter of saying, we need to be accountable to God, to ourselves, to each other, and then to be able to live out what it is we're committed to doing. And that's not always easy. That's not always easy to do. You'll hear this at men's conferences, this idea of being accountable. And that has to do with giving someone the capacity to speak into your life. But at a much more human basic level, and this is for me doing organizational consulting, right? So working with leadership teams, helping them be able to speak a language of accountability is a huge thing. I'm going to come back to this theme with Father Tom Forrest. He's my third spiritual leader who's poured into my life that I'm going to talk to you about. He taught me quite a bit about that. Another thing that is so helpful in growing a sense of commitment is shared commitments. When you can get a group of people together to show up and say, you know what, I'm going to get up really early and I'm going to pray for an hour. That's difficult. But if it's, well, we've all committed to doing this, then I'm going to get up, and I'm not going to get up because of me and what I want to do. I'm going to get up because I committed to them to do it. So there you go. Those are just a few things. There's more that I could say, but I'm coming up against a break, and I want to move forward to another theme, and that's the theme of vision, and a very important one. I'll be back. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Kern. It's great to be with you, sharing with you again insights from my time under the shepherding care and the leadership of Father Mark Montminy while working at St. Mary's Catholic Church. And one of, I would say, the biggest themes that Father Mark would emphasize as a pastor and as he formed us on his leadership team to be able to go forward in ministry was the theme of vision. And there's that famous proverb, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. And he would often say to us about this particular church leader or this ministry leader over here. He's like, "Oh, they don't have any vision." And by that, it was more of a lament, more than a put down. It was a sadness over the fact that this person might, again, be brilliant, might have many gifts organizationally, might have a willingness to work really hard, but isn't bearing as much fruit, not seeing a lot of results in the work that he or she is doing. And Father Mark would often identify it as they lack vision. And what is vision? Why is it important? How do you raise up a vision? What's the impact of doing that? These are the things that Father Mark taught me. And he taught me these things himself, but he also taught them because of one of the effects of a visionary leader who raises up a compelling vision. It's magnetic, and it draws to himself. It draws to his cause. In this instance, it drew to the Catholic faith and to his parish some wonderfully formed, brilliant organizational development consultants and leadership development consultants who would say, "Father Mark, how can I help you? What can I do? You know, put my gifts at your service." And he often would steer them to me. And I was like a sponge. You know, I was a 25-year-old young guy. And I'm like, pour into me, help me understand. And so Father Mark was not only directly responsible for helping me come to understand leadership and this specific theme of vision. But because of how he led and because of his vision, he drew others who also then became introduced into my life and were pouring into my life because of Father Mark. And again, so that was just another, like, let's call it next level of impact that Father Mark had, was the people that he drew to himself also ended up being huge blessings in my life as well. And so you will hear, you hear this language of, a vision statement, right, for an organization, or you'll see it on the wall. Sometimes you'll see a mission statement too. Okay, what is vision? Okay, if you read popular business literature, leadership literature, you'll basically get a lot of foggy, muddy presentations of what it is. To try to simplify it, a vision is what? It has to do with the future, right? But a vision is, it's an ideal image of a preferred future. There you go. That's one way of identifying it. So the ideal image is what? Contrasted with the reality of right now. So the ideal is, it's that future state that's out there that is preferred to the current state. And it's preferred because it's more ideal. It's a more perfect realization of who we are or who I am. Or you might say it's a compelling image of an attainable future. That's another way of talking about it. And it's what it, there's something about that image, that picture that has a compelling quality to it. And so it has a motivating factor. I want to attain, I want to achieve, I want that future. Yes, it must be. So what does a dynamic leader do? Dynamic leader has the ability, through how they speak and how they operate, to raise up this picture through the words that they're saying. They're painting a picture that in your mind you're able to sense, you're able to see, you're able to get this in your imagination. That's what Father Mark wants us to become. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. That's what we're going to become. Yes, let's go. Or that's what we're called to do. Yes, sign me up. So the power that vision has is that it can wash away the fogginess and the cloudiness of our present situation and help us recognize that in our present reality, in our current reality, there are things that are good. There are things that are meant to be affirmed. But you know what? We're not yet where we ought to be. There's a journey to take. There's an adventure to run. And the visionary is the one who's able to say, I'm going to raise up a vision of the future, and I'm going to tie it back to our present. And I'm going to say, this is where we're at now, but we ought not be here. Here's where we're going to go. That's what I'm committed to doing. So now sign on, sign up, let's go. Let's make that happen. Let's make that real. So that's the power of vision. Right? That's the part. You can motivate and move people to say, what is our current reality is not sufficient. It's not acceptable. It's not enough. We can't settle for this. We have to move. So there's a dislodging power. There is a catalyzing power. There's a dynamism to it when you know how to raise up a vision. Father Mark knew how to raise up a vision, knows how to raise up a vision. But to see him rally a crowd at events, at retreats, at conferences, at his parish on a Sunday, the way he would speak, it would stir the faithful, and it would stir them to move, to act. And so now let's ponder just for a minute. That all by itself, it's a natural level, a powerful capacity. You could call it, it's a charismatic quality. Say that in a purely human way. There's a charism there, right? Yeah, someone who can speak in a spellbinding fashion, right, has that capacity. But bring it in the realm of faith, And a person of vision who raises up a vision and can do that at a natural level needs a fundamental quality that Father Mark emphasized so much. And it's that the one who has the vision, the one who has the ideal future is not the visionary. It's not me, the one who's raising up a vision. It's God. And so if you take a look at this in the realm of faith, it's not that the leader is leading through vision. It's that the leader is first of all led because of the vision the leader has had. So in the scriptures, the vision is not first of all of this ideal state. It's of God and of his glory. I've seen God. I've had an encounter with God. And in having this encounter with God, I have this picture of what it is he wants us to do. Think Moses. He has the encounter with the Lord in the burning bush. He has seen God. And as a result of that, he has this vision and this sense of mission for what he is to be and to do. And he's going to go bring that to God's people, the Israelites, in slavery in Egypt. And he's going to raise up the vision for them, because that's his mission, is to raise up that vision for them and to Pharaoh. And he's going to shepherd the people. Let my people go. He's going to shepherd them through out of the land of captivity, through the Red Sea and through the desert to the promised land. That was his visionary capability. It was that a vision is first of all received or discerned rather than conceived or made up. So a vision is, in the light of faith, something that a leader must discern. And that's isn't that an interesting thing? Because visions that are received, that means I'm in a, again, think of docility, Father Noonan, I'm in this more receptive state. I think it almost feels passive. I'm not actively going and trying to come up with a vision and figure one out. No, I'm open to receive this encounter that brings this vision from God. And then from there, I'm going to go act decisively. I'm going to act courageously, vigorously. So there's this fascinating combination of receptive standing and waiting and the expectancy to say, I am ready to get launched into action as the Lord raises up. And so Father Mark was someone who did that so with a great maturity and gracefully, where we have to wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And then it was, I know what the Lord is asking of us. I'm going to raise it up and now I'm going to go work and I'm going to outwork everybody. That was the gift of Father Mark. All right, back in a minute with more of the program. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Talking about Father Mark Montminy, priest and pastor at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Manchester, New Hampshire. I was the director of evangelization there from 89 to 92 before I went to go study for my PhD down at Catholic University. And he was the one who gave me the opportunity to really do the work of evangelization in the Catholic Church. And from there, it was a launching pad into so many other opportunities to come. And I'll talk about some of that when I reference Father Tom Forrest and Evangelization 2000, and he's going to be the next person I discuss. So I want to finish up, though, strong on Father Mark. And it's this, is that a couple of other important themes that really came out of my time with Father Mark. And one of them was that a visionary leader can be really, really strong about going out front, no fear, get the courage to point the way and lead the way. But if that's as far as the visionary leader goes, then there are going to be limits to how much influence that leader will have. And specifically, he would talk about going from being a leader of people to a leader of leaders. Did you get that? I'm not just going to be leading this group where I have to be the one who stands up in front, points the way, raises up the vision and says, let's go. But I'm going to multiply my fruitfulness if I, as the leader, can raise up other leaders who will, guess what, raise up a vision, point the way, lead the way. And so that's a different gift. It's a very different gift, and it's one of the hardest shifts that a leader goes through as they're growing in maturity as a leader, is to go from the courage that it takes to stand up in front and raise up the vision and point the way to the trust that it takes to elevate someone else to entrust to them the role of raising up and pointing the way and leading the way under my leadership. And so it's the movement from the courage to speak to the trust to let someone else speak. He would use the phrase becoming dispensable. You see, if all you have is one leader raising up a vision and leading the people, when that leader gets removed, then it's like a sheep without the shepherd, right? You get this sense of, oh, that leader was indispensable. That leader didn't do a good job of mentoring, discipling, and drawing in and raising up other leaders that he would be pouring into so that then they would be able to multiply out the work they were doing into different realms. And so he entrusted me with the work of evangelization. He entrusted another couple to youth ministry work, and others to religious education, and others to retreat ministry, and others to, and you could just go on and on with the number of priests and lay faithful that he had on his staff. But because he did that, and he was willing to entrust us with real responsibility, so much more was able to get done than if he just simply led it himself. And so he would say to me, Tom, as long as I trust that the person that is on my team understands my vision, as long as they get my vision, and then here's what I'm going to say, what follows from that, the entailments of the vision, like the way of doing it, right? The proper way of doing it. If I have a leader that I know gets my vision, then I trust them to take action. And so he gave me so much room. He was almost the complete opposite of the command and control type of leader that was overly controlling and was, you know, in the minutiae. It would be suffocating. That Father Mark was the opposite of that. He would be someone who would be more hands-off and saying, let's get together, let's pray, let's keep in good communication, let's make sure that you understand what's going on and I understand what's going on, but then run, go, go, go. How can I support you? Huge gift that Father Mark gave to me and also formed in me. He formed that in me. And that was something that I just radically impacted how I have led since then, because I was led like that by Father Mark Montminy. So just a huge gift that he was in that regard. Another thing that Father Mark did, I'm shifting away from vision now, was he emphasized relationships. And as a result of the way that he cared for people and relationships, he both drew people to him that were extraordinary. And he also made a very impressive commitment to stay in touch with people. The way that I saw this was that he would on a, I don't know if it was an everyday basis or every couple of day basis, at most it was every week, he would swing through the office and one of the secretaries would give him a stack of birthday cards. And he would write out a personal note on these birthday cards that they then would mail out. And he kept some kind of database of these birthdays. And now back in 1990, let's call it 1990, there were over 500 names on that list. That was back then. There must be 1,000 names on his list by now. And it's so, again, that the word is impressive. Every year on my birthday, sure enough, within a day or two, in the mail comes a birthday card from Father Mark. I don't get birthday cards from my siblings. He sends out a birthday card and says something personal in it to me. And it's simply his expression of showing authentic care and love and being a powerful witness of, you're not forgotten. You know, I know you, and you remain in my prayers, you remain in my heart, and I want to express that through this card. It just, that's impressive, isn't it? It's like, that is, it's really a very striking thing. It shows connections. But the other thing I want to mention, and this is kind of a fun way to end, is that Father Mark drew to himself people of extraordinary charisms, extraordinary gifts. So a couple of the characters that he drew to himself, one was a stigmatist. Yes, that's right. Bernadette Sear, a stigmatist in southern Maine. And she was someone who had a very dear, deep connection to Father Mark, Bernadette, and Charlie, her husband. And so she received the stigmata, and they would do healing services together. And, you know, can you imagine going to a healing service and being prayed with by a stigmatist? I've got some really neat stories of Bernadette Sear. She was a laywoman, a wife and a mother, and a very simple country woman, and received the gift of the stigmata. The second woman is Sister Alfred. Sister Alfred was a nun, just a short nun, and she was someone that the Lord used in extraordinary ways to bring about healing. The woman had this history of like big deal miracles and healings. And so he again would go around and bring Sister Alfred to like talk at a retreat and then pray with people. And it was funny because he would smile and just say that sometimes their theology was pretty simple, pretty like down home simple. But when they prayed, God's power showed up, and it was so moving. And so one time Father Mark told the story of, they were headed to a retreat, and it was a slippery, snowy night in New Hampshire, and they rounded a corner, hit a patch of ice, and they were sliding right out in front of an oncoming truck. And Father Mark, you know, he had a small Honda Civic, and he's like, we are going to die. we're going to get into a head-on collision. And Sister Alfred, who was with him, said, Mary's mantle, just shouted out Mary's mantle. And the next thing he knew was he was like on the other side of the truck. It was as if somehow the car got lifted up, kind of tilted on its side, and then came back down behind the truck. And there was no injury, and the car continued on, and the truck continued on. And it was, he tells that story like unbelievable. He said, there's just no way. I didn't turn the wheel. It wasn't like I pulled some kind of NASCAR maneuver. It was a miracle of God. So live your life raising up a holy vision. You will draw people to yourself. And you just might find yourself surrounded by some mystics, some very, very holy men and women. So, Father Mark Montminy, an incredible priest of God for our time, and continues to pastor and live a very holy life. And I am thrilled that I could talk a little bit about him.